how did you hate me? Catherine whispers in the cave of swimmers, talking through her pain of injuries. Her broken wrist, shattered ribs. You were terrible to me. That's when my husband suspected you. I still hate that about you, disappearing into deserts or bars. You left me in Groppy Park. Because you didn't want me as anything else. Because you said your husband was going mad. Well, he went mad. Not for a long time. I went mad before he did. You killed everything in me. Kiss me, will you? Stop defending yourself. Kiss me and call me by my name. Their bodies had met in perfumes, in sweat, frantic to get under that thin film with a tongue or a tooth, as if they each could grip character there and during love pull it right off the body of the other. You think you are an iconoclast, but you're not, she said. You just move or replace what you cannot have. If you fail at something, you retreat into something else. Nothing changes you. The English patient pauses and holds out his hand. Caravaggio places a morphine tablet into the black palm and it disappears into the man's dark mouth. Then he continues. I crossed the dry bed of the lake toward Kufra Oasis, carrying nothing but robes against the heat and night cold my Herodotus left behind with Catherine. And 3 years later, in 1942, I walked with her towards the buried plain, carrying her body as if it was the armor of a knight. In the desert, the tools of survival are underground, troglodyte caves, water sleeping within the buried plant, weapons, a plane. At longitude 25, latitude 23, I dug down towards the tarpaulin, and Maddox's old plane gradually emerged. It was night, and even in the cold air I was sweating. The plane came out of the sand. There had been no food, and I was weak. The tarp, so heavy I couldn't dig it out, but had simply to cut it away. In the morning, after 2 hours' sleep, I carried her into the cockpit. I started the motor, and it rolled into life. We moved and then slipped, years too late, into the sky. The voice stops. The burned man looks straight ahead in his morphine focus. The plane is now in his eye. The slow voice carries it with effort above the earth, the engine missing turns as if losing a stitch, her shroud unfurling in the noisy air of the cockpit, noise terrible after his days of walking in silence. He looks down and sees oil pouring onto his knees. A branch breaks free of her shirt. The undercarriage brushes the top of a palm, but he pivots up, and the oil slides over the seat, her body slipping down into it. There is a spark from a short, and the twigs at her knee catch fire. He pulls her back into the seat beside him. He thrusts his hand up against the cockpit glass, and it will not shift. Begins punching the glass, cracking it, finally breaking it, and the oil and the fire slop and spin everywhere. How low is he in the sky? She collapses. Acacia twigs leaves the branches that were shaped into arms uncoiling around him. Limbs begin disappearing in the suck of air. He is flying a rotted plane, the canvas sheetings on the wings ripping open in the speed. They are carrion. He lifts his legs out of the oil, but they are so heavy. There is no way he can lift them again. He is old, suddenly, tired of living without her. He cannot lie back in her arms and trust her to stand guard all day, all night while he sleeps. He has no one. He is exhausted not from the desert, but from solitude. The woman translated into leaves and twigs, the broken glass to the sky like a jaw above him. He slips into the harness of the oil-wet parachute and pivots, upside down, breaking free of glass, wind flinging his body back. Then his legs are free of everything, and he is in the air, bright, not knowing why he is bright, until he realizes he is on fire.